precious verse that I'm so thankful that is familiar to all of us, and not just familiar, dear. Matter of fact, it's our life. And not just a lifeline, but it's the lifeblood. And so beautiful that the one whom we follow, as he followed Christ, he just points us to the mercy and the grace of God. And I love how he says this in the 10th verse, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And I'd start tonight even to praise him, that as we go after grace, we know that the laboring truly is just for more grace. And you know how that's going to come. It's going to come in many different ways. I'm thankful when that grace comes and you see your life changing from glory to glory and overcoming, being encouraged how God really did the miracle in your life. He brought you out of something that you never thought ever could be. You see things that you prayed for years and years, and you see the faithfulness, the hand of God and his promises that are yea and amen, and you see it come to pass. But then, truly, sometimes the most intimate of grace is when he just keeps you in it and maybe brings something new that you never thought that would ever be an issue or a fight or something of that nature. But yet he quickens you in the word of God and the word of his grace to have your eyes upon the mercy seat. And there's something to really understand fully about your life and your life in Christ, that you have his life. And that life is his life. And that's a sinless, praise God, it's sinless. It's the very righteousness of God that we've been made for him. And he made you what he loves. He didn't make you what he hates, what he detests. When we're born again, we're born in what he loves and what he wants to care for, cherish, treasure. We begin to really lay hold of that. You really understand kind of the beginning and the continuing of the grace of God. But I have to tell you, I thank the Lord with Paul, and that by the grace of God, as we follow Paul, as we follow Christ, I too thank the Lord that the grace of God wasn't made vain in my life. I mean, and the thankfulness just continues to grow more and more. And just grateful to God how abundantly immersed in grace we are. And how infinite his grace is. And as you go on in your life, he shows you new facets of his grace. And how complete and incredible it is for everything. Everything. It's your all sufficiency for all things. It's true. And it's your strength. It's your comfort. It's your encouragement. It's your love. It's your peace. It's your rest. It's your long suffering. It's everything. The grace of God is everything. So, my sweet uncle over there was telling me about a trip he took not too long ago. And he met a man down in New Mexico. And it was sweet because this guy was telling him how he loved to fish, and he just met him. He said, oh, I love to fish. And, you know, there's a place that I love to fish more than any place I love to fish. He says, it's up there in Wyoming. Well, as my uncle was listening to him, it was the exact same place we love to go fish. So this guy, you know, he just let him keep talking, and you know, uncle knew that it was just something God was working there. And so this guy kept talking about his last trip up there. He says, man, I just love to fish up there. You know, I'm a fly fisherman. You know, and I know how to fish, and I've got my flies and lures and all that. And I was out there, and I caught the big zero. And he said, but the guy next to me just kept pulling fish after fish after fish. I could see him catching them fish. And he looked over there, and you know that guy had the audacity to use a worm. He was using a worm. And here, this guy, this guy was telling him, and I'm using flies and all these things, and I'm not catching a fish. So he kept on for a while, and he kept seeing that guy catch fish. So then he got back in his car, he drove into town, he bought some hooks and bought some worms, came back, and he started fishing, and right away, bam, he catches a fish. And so he was laughing, and Uncle heard all through his story. And then my uncle said to him, "Well, that's how I fish. I fish with worms. I fish with eggs. I fish with whatever I got to fish with." And after hearing that, it was so sweet. This verse so sweetly just came to my heart. And I thought to myself, how this is so like Christianity today. We all fish at the same river of life. It's the same river of life. It's the Word of God. But are we after form? Or are we after substance? Am I after form? Or am I after strong meat? Are we going to limit ourselves? Or are we going to use every bit of what God has given? Amen. It excites me to think of my life and how he witnesses his grace to my life. And I can honestly say this. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I've caught fish on flies and lures, and I understand how to, as they say, beat the water. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't limit myself to flies and lures. I'll go do whatever I need to do to catch fish. And I was thinking, since we have now, because we're so privileged to be in the time of all truth, why would I limit any of it? Why would I limit any bit of truth in any way, shape, or form? You know, it's even just thinking about prayer requests on my heart, as I told you, you know, as we pray for one another. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse not to use it all. And when I use it all, you know what? I overcome. When I trust the whole Word of God and allow it to work effectually in me, you know what happens? Overcome. I'll get the fish. Praise God. I'll have fruit. That's what it's getting at here. I'll have fruit in my life. And other people may not see it, but I know what I'm catching because God tells me. And I'm not telling you a whopper story either. I'm telling you exactly what I caught. I mean, it was this big. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful, and I was rejoicing, and I rejoice. There are many of us that we can say this, but even if you can't say it specifically this way, I know you say this anyways. I was thankful I heard a man preach to me Paul's gospel. And I was thankful that I heard a man that preached to me that said, why not jump over into the knee-deep clover? Why would I just feed off of something that is so minimal to what is just right over there? And it's so true. And that's our life in Christ. And, you know, we try to, I shouldn't say we try, when we listen to winds of doctrine. And winds of doctrine can be any blowhard there is. I hope you understand that. It doesn't have to be confined to a certain religion. Any wind that gets you off of truth is wind. And it'll blow you off course. And I am thankful that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord that, Lord, this isn't worth it. No matter how much passion my heart is for this cause or whatever it may be, no. There's nothing to be compared. It's not even worthy to be mentioned. And I just want to grow more bold in that, all the time, bold in that love that, Lord, help us to press on to, we are in that knee-deep clover, let's stay there. Let's get it all, amen? Why not go in there and not just the most fish, let's catch the biggest fish. How about the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Amen. I mean, that's what he's told me is mine. And he's told me where it is. It's just like, you know, there's holes out there. And Dwayne and my uncle and all have showed me these holes over the years and say, you know, there's some big fish in here. Alex has told me and different ones. And you go down in there. Well, there's big fish in Paul's gospel. Yep. And then you have to know how to fish down there. Well, here's how you fish down there. You know, they tell me you use this, this, and this, and you'll catch that fish. Well, Paul says, it's just the grace of God. Apply yourself to the Word of God. I was thankful today to hug a brother that I know is confined to a very harsh sickness of this world. There's a lot of them, but some of them are pretty evident. And I know he's been trying to get away from this thing for a long, long time. And all I could encourage him today, which was so beautiful, which is the only thing we can ever encourage ourselves in anything to overcome, just get more of the word of his grace. Is there a different all-sufficiency than the grace of God? And I sincerely believe as you'll feed upon the word of his grace, that word of his grace is all-powerful because the word of God tells me that. And as you'll feed upon that and you'll trust the word of his grace, it will deliver you. And it will. And every one of us can testify of those things that this, it can do it. And I don't want to be thinking about the trial when the Lord comes. And I was thankful to be able to tell this brother that. I don't want you to be thinking about that. I want you to be thinking about what we were all thinking about today. About Paul's gospel and the coming of the Lord. And about I'm expecting him to come. He just told me about loving his appearing. He didn't tell me about all the other stuff that might be going on. I'm sure I'm going to have some problems going on when the Lord comes. I'm confident. Matter of fact, they might be at the height of my life. But I know it's going to be at the height of my heart. By the grace of God, it's going to be him, and I'm going to be ready. Because I'm going to believe in his grace that I'll be ready. I've sat here a lot of years sometimes and people worrying about what people were in and telling them why they're not going to be ready because they're in that. I'm not encouraging anybody to go get into things. It's not what I'm saying. But I'll tell you one thing, the first love takes care of all that. It does. Causes things to grow strangely dim. You know the song we sing? And it's amazing when you don't think about something how sometimes it just goes away. When you're occupied with love, you don't remember some of those, I can say it, I guess, you know, those bad girlfriends you used to have or whatever. But you get what I mean. Those ones that hurt you, those things that hurt you, go away. I do have to go home tonight, so. All right. Now, why not really believe in the grace of God that's freely given to win him? Amen. And we need to be encouraged in that all the time because we'll be hit with something that time and time again that'll discourage us because that's what the Lord will allow and that's what the enemy just wants to do and try to defeat us, but God will show us another dimension of his grace and how all-powerful it is. And the thing is, we go through these things, we need to understand and always be confident in the grace of God, that it's always his mercy, that we just get on out there and we take it all. It's freely offered to all. And I thank the Lord for this. He's no respecter of person. He's no respecter of situation. He's no respecter of environment. He's no respecter of circumstance. He's not. He wants us to win. He wants you to win. And praise be to God, if he be for you, who could be against you? Amen. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. And I know nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Amen. And that's nothing. So I thank God that we know. I was thankful to recently hear again about the goodly pearl and the message and the encouragement and talking about the pearl itself and even in the natural, you know, how it's formed and all those things. And yes, most of the time it's formed by what they call a little parasite. A little parasite gets into that oyster, into that shell, and it irritates and it causes a hurt or an injury or whatever it is. And God's made that sweet little oyster to, is it only through that parasite does this coating is emitted through inside of that oyster and it begins to coat that parasite. And it coats it and coats it and coats it. And basically what it's coating it with is the stuff that make the pearl. And that stuff becomes hard, and depending on how long it's in there, and I guess, too, how big that irritant is and how long it irritates. Maybe that's the bigger pearl that comes forth. What do you think? Yeah. My brothers and sisters, they should all be big pearls because they said I irritated them for a long time. God, I just thought of that, Deb. Sorry. Okay. Kind of true. Brother John will tell you stories how I... Never mind. But it's wonderful because it's the weaknesses in our life, isn't it? It truly is. It's the infirmities in our lives that are so beautiful. And we don't want them, but by the grace of God, we know that they're very necessary. That the parasite is the infirmity that Paul said, I glory in. I glory in that infirmity. I glory in that injury. I glory in that irritant. Because without that, that grace wouldn't come in to cover it. That grace wouldn't continue to come in and cover it more and more. And you can see about your life that God has sent these things. There's no accident here. These are before ordained good works that we should walk therein. So you can think of them as parasites as you walk therein. And they're little irritants that come into your life. And praise God. And I thank the Lord because I understand that. I've heard others talk about the parasite being sin. And I will encourage you that that couldn't be. I'm sinless. There ain't no sin in me. There ain't no sin in any child of God. There just can't be. I know that I've been made the very righteousness of God. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that as we stand here tonight, this is where our freedom begins. You can't sin, neither can you sin. Do you believe that? Amen. I pray you do. You need to go read there, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Get encouraged of how powerful the blood of Jesus is and the new life that you have. But it's very important. Those things I think are vitally important. Because somehow, some way, we begin to think of ourselves as dirty. And the blood is washed us clean. Clean. I might have some dirty feet, don't get me wrong, I get that. And that's why I need to be washed in the Word all the time. But just like Peter said, oh, wash me again. He said, oh, no, no, don't tell me that, Peter. You don't know what you're talking about. You're running the mouth. You could even say, don't insult the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb. But I'm thankful to God about this. And it is. You can't help but say hallelujah. See, Paul gloried in his infirmity because it was then and only then that divine grace, those layers of divine grace would form in him. And layer upon layer in that infirmity. And that's why he said, I thank the Lord. I glory in my infirmities. See, and we hear that here because the Word of God is preached here. And we've heard that for years and years. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? We need to continue to hear it. And we need to never stop hearing it. But I will tell you, you step outside these doors, you will not hear that. Maybe once in a great while. But if Paul said that's what I glory in, and we're to follow Paul as he followed Christ, should we not be reminded about that? Time and time again, like almost every time we get together, that we glory in the infirmity because when I am weak, he is strong. Because in that weakness, that's when the very power of Christ rests upon me. And you think about the power of Christ. I was thinking about the power of his might. And as he said, you know, he's been with you. Well, he's all in all. So in that same sense, he's been with him because Jesus. He's very God of very God. They're all in all. He that's seen me, seen the Father. I know they're three separate, but they're all one. Wow. But he said he's been with you. And he shall be in you. All that love has been with you. Because that's the power of his might, the love shed abroad. All of that love shed abroad has been with you. I've been with you.
Amen.
Now, that power, that love is going to be in you. Is that amazing? Love. Now we're back to that love, 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 love. And you think about that love. See, that's the bridal love. And bridal love will suffer together. See, you love somebody and you're like, whatever. You'll only go so far with that person. But when you're truly in love and it's your spouse, you'll go all the way. It's life. Because it's one life. You give that life, it's just what it is in that type of love. And I am thankful to Jesus because that's the grace of God that is given to us to have that love that we endure suffering together with Christ. I'm not doing that to get something. I'm not doing that in a sense to, oh yes, I want to win that crown. I want to be in that throne and rule and reign to rule and reign. I want to be there because he loves me so much. I want to take that place because of the love that's shed abroad in my heart. I've received the same love that he loves me with. And I get that love and I want to have what he wants. I want to have what he wants me to have. And he's told me what he wants me to have. And he tells me time and time again what he wants me to have. And then he tells me because of his grace, my grace will enable you to just take and believe in what I have already given you to have. It's incredible grace, is it not? Amen? But the grace of God that lets us grow and to know the love of Christ, it's that grace that gives us that love to believe in that grace. It's that grace that gives us that love that we believe in how much he loves us, isn't it? Because if you don't see how much he loves us, you won't respond. You'll only respond to the level that you'll see the love of Christ. That's why we need to know the love of Christ. And that's in totality, to understand it all. And the height of that love. You think of that. Because we all start with knowing him as Savior. We understand that he loves us so. And our Father gave us his Son. And we get that love. Each and every one of the sons of God. They receive that love to love him back with that knowledge of that love. But as you continue to grow in that love, you begin to see the heights of it. And that it's endless, isn't it? Even though you can know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth and all that, but yet those dimensions are endless. But yet we know endless. Oh my goodness. Because he's put it in us. That's it. Praise the Lord. And there's nothing that love doesn't conquer, the love of Christ in us. There's no depth. There's no depth that he didn't go, that I might go, that's ever going to separate me. And not just from his love, but the height of his love. It'll never separate me from the height. He always stays in love like that. His love never decreases. He stays in that love because that's what he is. I believe you believe it. Amen? Because you're happy. Even when you're sad. Praise the Lord. But this is what. This is that. Amen? Praise God. So, Paul gloried in the infirmity because the layers of grace would form around that infirmity. He knew that, and he encouraged us that we know, that the building of glory to glory for the Lord only comes through that power that rests upon us in that infirmity, in those irritants, in all of those things that happen in our life as we turn to God. Just think, if you were just down the lotus land of ease, you never would have been the pearl of great price for him. So now you can praise him for all the infirmities of your life. Praise God. We can, and we do. But the word of his grace is what is forming in those weaknesses, brothers and sisters. Remember that. And it never ceases to be grace. And his grace is the all-sufficiency for all things. Now, as we close this up, I want you to think about this as well. Because I run into this time and time again. And I pray that we understand this, and I'll testify of this. I'm no authority, but I thank God the grace that gives me faith is the authority. The Word of God's the authority. And to have grace to see the Word of God to believe is true. And that will always prevail. But I have met so many throughout, especially being encouraged in grace, that no bridle truth, that somehow, some way want to bring in a wee bit of flesh, that the final perfecting, somehow, and you'll hear this preaching once in a while, and thanks be to God, not in here. Not in here. But somehow that last bit of perfecting, that last bit of complete sanctification, somehow has to be on some way on behalf of our strength in some keeping in a fleshly manner. And I'm telling you, I find that more often than not, which is sad. We always want to be gracious. But by the grace of God, it always needs to be corrected. Michael, settle down, son. It always needs to be corrected. But by grace. But also quickly. Because things can sound good and they can sound fine. They can even sound exciting. And I know that I've even caught my head one time or two going, yeah, this is great, this is great. And then, what did I just hear? Mm-mm. The little foxes spoil the whole vine. And we always need to be fighting that good fight of faith by the grace of God. And we're nothing, but he's everything. And I'll tell you, in that, we're everything to him. And we are marvelous masterpieces of his grace. And that little leaven, by the grace of God, it will leaven the whole lump. That gets in there. And that's not the irritant where the grace comes upon. That's something that's defeating. That's something that stops that that emollient or whatever that is that covers. See, I don't want to reject grace. I don't want to despise grace. I don't want to be like Saul, which is just unbelievably apparent. Grace became repugnant to him. The very thing that saved him in David, he wanted to destroy. And but for the grace of God, that can be us. In running for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, I'll tell you what. Anytime we hear that kind of stuff, get away from it. Stop hearing that. Because eventually it will hurt you. Eventually, that leaven will leaven it. The keeping of your life is faith in grace. The finishing of your course to win Jesus is faith in grace. It never, ever, ever, ever will change. His strength made perfect in your weakness. Amen. And he's faithful to bring humility to your life. And he will. He'll cause you to fail. He'll cause you to run into something because he's faithful to do it. In his faithfulness, he has afflicted you. And I thank the Lord. And sometimes that thorn will just sit there. But it's the greatest parasite of my life that the grace of God is building. Yeah, it's wounded with him. Thank you, Lord. Everything we do is only possible by the grace of God. Never by my might, never by my strength. It is all by the grace of God. As we rejoice in this verse, as Paul, in concluding everything to brethren that would be like us of like precious faith, he said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace." And I'm seeing that difference more and more all the time. It's not knowing the word, it's knowing the word of his grace. It's the lines within the lines. It's the bars that truly make us the prisoner of Christ. That you don't want anything else because it's so beautiful. I am a prisoner of the grace of God. Amen. And in that I'm free indeed. Nothing gets in. Hallelujah. Knowing that. And it's that word of his grace which is able to build you up. See, the grace has the ability, isn't it? The word of his grace is all your ability to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It tells you specifically, that's the sanctification. It's the word of his grace. It's the word of, honey, I am so in love with you. That's what sets you apart to the Lord. It's falling more and more in love. And not with yourself. And not with what you can do or how much you can quote or, you know, how long I've been in the scriptures. It's that love. And once again from today, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are on a journey. And it's a journey of straight feet. It's a journey of a mark for the prize. It's exact. Grace is exact. Because if it's works, then it's no more grace. And praise God, if it's grace, it's no more works. That's the beauty of it. Rejoice in that for your life and one another. It started with grace for salvation. It was the same grace for my infilling. And it will be grace alone that builds the masterpiece, the wife for Jesus. Amen. And the ones who will trust only in the workmanship of him who is full of grace and truth. Amen. The workmanship of grace. Those, hallelujah. That trust only in the mercy of the author and finisher of our faith. See, I don't strive for that. It's the mercy that I just adore and embrace and I stare at. And that finishes, authors and finishes the faith. They will transform and they will win. And it's all by the changing, hallelujah, all the changing, I should say, that we want in our lives will be perfected by continuing to hear the word of his grace. That's what I was saying about that sweet brother today. The things I want different in my life, keep hearing the word of his grace. Keep hearing the word of his grace. It will overcome. Because there's nothing that can stop it. It always produces the girl, the pearl. Ah, there it is, the pearl of great price. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, do you truly believe, and I ask you this, do you truly believe that Jesus loves you that completely, that powerfully, that perfectly? Then by the grace of God, let's go on and live the love of Jesus. Let's go out in boldness more and more, that Jesus is in love with me. And he will perfect. And to understand this, his word and his word of his grace will perfect that which concerns me. I'm telling you, I'm beginning not to worry anymore. And I was born, my father, natural father, my dad, John, as my mom will attest, he was an all-pro worrier. I've got it deep in these genes. Those that knew him, he could worry about anything. He could surprise you what he could worry about. But I'm thankful. Says, I don't worry anymore. And I'm telling you, I used to be the worry wart. But his grace has taken the word away. So praise be to God. We're having a good time in Jesus. Sure love you. I pray, encourage your heart tonight. He's so beautiful, isn't he? Let's stand and be dismissed.